SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is time for the good, the bad, the dumb for a Monday. And with a whole weekend of issues and stories and all sorts of fun, I can't wait for this segment. What's good today?
You know what? There was so much to choose from. There was, you know, maybe we'll get to this at some point, but Christian Yelich just lighting up Yu Darvish through Twitter.
I saw a little bit of that.
Yeah, you know, but that goes back to I'm kind of getting old of the, you know, are they cheating? Are they not cheating? Stealing signs, not stealing signs. I'm kind of over that story now. But I came across a piece of video, and I want you to think back to this, Tony.
Yep.
Great motivational speeches by coaches that we've seen in history and in film.
Sure.
You know, there's Gene Hackman in Hoosiers.
Right.
Who gives a good speech and then ends it with, I love you guys.
I love you guys.
I mean, gives you all the feels in the world. There's Herb Brooks. You know, whether this was taken word for word, many debate. But, you know, Kurt Russell delivered a great line, you know, saying, you know, great moments are born from great opportunities.
Right.
It's a great quote. I mean, you'll see that on motivational posters for years to come. There's this coach in Russia. He coaches a Russian basketball team. He had something similar, a good motivational speech during a timeout. I'll let you be the judge where you think this will stand in the annals of history.
Good guys! You are good guys! In your eyes, you are good guys! You, everybody! You, okay? You want me to repeat the little guys? You, this is a topic!
That's great. Way to wave the finger of guilt and shame at players.
Yeah, I mean, I love how he started off by saying, you are good guys.
You're good guys.
You're all good guys. And then
just in case.
Proceeds to, I mean, you watch the video. I can't tell if he's calling out single players or if he's just calling out his entire team.
Just
and then ends it with, shame on you.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
It makes you want to go, oh, I'll go out there and play harder, I guess.
Yeah. I'm not sure where this one stands in history. I think it's up there. I really do.
It's a good pep talk. Yeah, that is good. Well done. Well done. That's great. That was hockey, you said?
No, basketball.
Oh, Russian basketball.
I'm assuming it's Russian basketball. Looking at the backdrop, there was something. It was like CSKA, which is usually a Russian team. I'm not sure what CSKA stands for, but I know usually following that is Moscow.
It's so hard. Like we come from the generation that we watched Rocky IV, remember? And we believed that all Russian athletes were like, you know,
roided up
and all the finest computer equipment that while Rocky was outside chopping down trees and running through the snow and Dolph Lundgren's Drago was getting injected and on these power pads and all these things that made you stronger and faster and better. Like you just grew up with this image of every Russian athlete being state bred and everything. And then you realize, maybe it wasn't quite like that. Maybe some of the athletes do need to be shamed for bad play. Oh, that's funny. That's good. I don't know if I'd respond to a coach like that. I'd probably go, I guess you're right, coach. I'm a terrible individual. I guess I'm fine.
It's just funny. I mean, it was one of those things how, you know, you call him good guys, escalates in the wrong direction almost immediately. And I guess, yeah. I mean, and maybe it's a language, you know, we don't know this coach, but I can't, I'm trying to picture, like, say, who's a fiery coach in sports right now that we could draw to? That is, you know, that would be yelling at his players like that.
That's a good question.
Maybe I have to go all the way back to like Bobby Knight.
Yeah, probably like Bobby Knight.
You know, Bobby Knight saying to everyone, "You guys are good. And then, you know, bleep you.
What was he
bleep
speaking?
You
was he speaking English because
he was speaking like, English the entire time
because different player there's
probably,
different players
yeah.
from different countries that play
yeah,
there.
I think he's from Fenerbahce, if I'm saying that right.
I don't even know what that means.
Which I think is a Dutch.
Oh, okay.
So he's
coming in to coach, and that's why he's
playing
English.
Against CSK Moscow or maybe
very
playing.
Good.
I don't know.
All right, what's the
I'm
bad of the
pretend
day?
To know. The bad of the day. You know, I'm sticking with basketball. I mean, I feel really bad. The women's basketball team from Texas Southern had their uniforms stolen.
would steal women's basketball uniforms?
As they traveled, and someone from Portland, Oregon did this.
Why?
I don't know. And it was so bad that they had to use their practice jerseys and tape numbers to their practice jerseys. Yeah. Kind of. I mean, that one kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. It was like,
that stinks.
What are you going to do with them?
What are you going to do with the women, Texas Southern women's basketball jerseys?
I mean, on one hand, if it was.
Sell them?
If it was UConn women's basketball, I could see, okay, maybe there's a market for it. You know? Because, I mean, it's UConn.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you took UConn's, if you took Gino Auriemma's team's jerseys, yeah, there might be a.
There might be a market for it.
Market for that.
I mean, it's Texas Southern.
That doesn't.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
That doesn't make any sense. Those poor girls.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but you might get a dollar or two if you're trying to sell them online.
Were they on the road? Is that what happened?
Yeah, they were in Oregon playing against Oregon.
Oh, so they had to have take their practice jerseys and.
Yeah, they had to take their practice jerseys and literally, you see a picture, because their number they do have numbers on their practice jersey. But not all of them do. Like one girl, I guess maybe she didn't have her practice, or it's not her actual number. She taped the number 2 to make 42 on the back of her jersey. It looks like the jersey might have been like 40 or 46.
That's too bad. That's too bad. I hope they find them, or I hope some apparel company steps up and gets some new ones.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be well taken care of when you hear the story like this.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so then what's the dumb of the day? That's kind of dumb.
It is kind of dumb. I mean, I just felt more bad. The dumb of the day, I will give credit to this site, NFLauction.com. It's a great place to go where you can go and get like official game jerseys and
signed jerseys
and stuff like that. But on Friday at 12:30 p.m., okay, so last Friday, 12:30 p.m., they sent a tweet out announcing to the world that, hold on, I want to say it word for word so I get this absolutely right. Bid on Browns defensive end Miles L. Garrett. Hashtag game worn jersey. All proceeds will be donated to the NFL's nonprofit military partners.
Wow, really? Right before the game?
No. This was on Friday. This was
Right after the game.
This is after.
Oh, so they were capitalizing on the event.
At 12:30. It has since been taken down. It's nowhere to be found on their auction site.
No.
I'm certain there was a little bit of backlash.
Sure there was. You better believe it.
But it's just the fact that 12:30, we had already watched the game. You'd already know everything that happened by 12:30. I'm going to assume 12:30 Eastern time. Why not? You know, that... This is probably not a jersey you want to throw up there. I know it's probably scheduled. Maybe it was a scheduled tweet.
That's what I'm wondering. If it was a scheduled tweet that said, okay, we're going to have the game, and then afterwards we'll
just not a good look.
No, it's not a good look. Oh, my goodness. I mean, but let me ask a quick question. If you knew, and I don't know how, so don't tweet me with, that would be impossible. But if somebody could get their hands on the Mason Rudolph helmet that he swung and put it on eBay or an auction block, do you think people would buy it?
Oh, yeah.
I think people would run. I think that thing would make a lot of money.
I think it would be a lot of money.
I think a lot of money. I think there is such anger in Cleveland for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I bet a rich Cleveland Brown fan would buy that in a heartbeat for a lot of money.
If he
knew it was authentic.
I'll take it a step further. I think so, a collector.
Maybe even so, just to have it
as a collection.
Just have a collection on it. If you knew that was the authentic, the helmet he swung at Mason Rudolph's head, I think it would go for a lot of money.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a great question. And that helmet would sell, and it would be big money too.
It would be big money too.
It would be, I'd venture a guess of at least five, probably six figures.
Yep. It was
for his helmet, which normally wouldn't be that much.
I really wanted to tweet something this weekend because I was getting so sick of, I mean, I saw my timeline filled over the weekend with every egregious hit that occurred in the NFL in the last 10 years.
Ever. And college.
I mean, everybody was saying, what do you think of this? If you don't like Miles Garrett, what do you think? What about this? Why didn't the NFL do something here? And it's just hits in a game, right? It's just the quarterback getting hit in the head or a receiver getting slammed, all of that. And I just wanted to go, guys, that's not the argument. The argument isn't that he's not getting suspended indefinitely because of something like that. He got hit. He's because he took a helmet and there was a guy's head that didn't have a helmet on, and he took the helmet that is designed to protect the head from high speed collisions and then used it swinging his arms as fast as he could to try to hit the guy on his head, on his unprotected head with said helmet. That's why he's been suspended. Stop tweeting some sack that went wrong or some receiver getting blown up over the middle of the field. That's not the issue. And I wanted to, I mean, I was so tired of it. It was like people missing the point of this, of why it was happening. Like, and still, and when there were people saying, yeah, well, Mason Rudolph tried to pull his helmet off and he didn't. And if he had and used the helmet to hit Myles Garrett with it on the head, he'd be suspended indefinitely too.
Yep.
But as a Steeler fan,
I felt the same way. I mean, you know, it just people trying to draw comparisons to it or saying, you know, the NFL, you know, saying they've never seen anything like this before. It's like, we have seen it before. We've just never seen it to that extent.
Yeah, exactly.
I would bet a life savings right now, Myles Garrett probably said, you know what I should have done? I should have ripped the helmet off and then chucked it into the upper deck.
Right. Right.
Or not, maybe not to the upper deck, because then he would have probably struck a fan and probably hurt a fan. You know, or maybe just chuck it down the tunnel. I mean, just do something. Throw it off the field.
Exactly. So, who knows? But that's not, I mean, look, listen, we're all fans of our teams. We're fans of, you know, this, and it's hard when your team's good. It stinks. Like, if you root for a team, like, can you imagine being a Browns fan and you're a Browns fan for a long time? You remember the good old days where they, you know, the fumble and the drive, and you're like, yep, we were so close to the Super Bowl. Then you lose your team.
And then you've been there through the jersey.
Right, you're there through the jersey.
I always highlight the jersey, right, because that was probably the most brilliant thing a Browns fan or a company ever did. Was
sure.
Just, name after name after name, and because it just reminds you of looking at fail.
But you're putting up with all of this. You're putting up with all this, right? And then this night, you beat the Steelers. You're happy. You're excited because you don't really beat the Steelers a lot. You're excited, and then Myles Garrett does this thing, and all of a sudden it's ha ha Browns. Even when they win, they lose. Ha ha! What a franchise! What a joke! What a team! Blah. And you just, I get the defensive nature of that. I get as a fan when they attack your team, they attack your city, they attack you. I get all that. But these arguments were just wrong. They were just not comparable. The argument, just taking a vicious hit in the game and comparing it to a guy using a helmet as a weapon is apples and oranges.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's upsetting is that, you like you said, you took away from the win. All of a sudden, what it becomes, the narrative becomes is, you know, Myles Garrett's a dirty player. The Browns are an undisciplined team. Look right at what's all wrong with the Browns. Even Baker Mayfield, who came out and said what he should say, and it's refreshing. We don't have quarterbacks. I can't think of a quarterback that would have done the same thing in his shoes. I mean, I don't even think Tom Brady would do it. And it was refreshing to see that, but even he's like, you know, you can read articles on it, like, oh, he's not really for his team. It's, you know, that's disruptive for the locker room. And blah, you know, it's just everything about the Browns because of that one incident with 8 seconds left in the game has turned negative.
That's right. That's right. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.